Good morning, Dr. Brown. Thanks for being here. How are you?
I'm well. How are you, Melissa?
I'm doing good, thank you. So I can't help but notice it's been over a week since we've heard about the new strain being detected here in Connecticut, but I find it super hard to believe that it's not here. So my question is, how do we actually find out that someone has the new strain or not? Like, how do you find out if you've been infected with the new strain versus the old one?
The first thing is that you probably won't get any different symptoms. So that's not really going to change. And I think the strain, even though it is a little bit different in the fact that now it's able to, it's more infectious. So it's able to attach and it's able to cause an infection a lot easier than the last version or the last strain. You won't notice anything different. So the only way to tell if someone has the strain is if we do basically genetic sequencing. And we don't do genetic sequencing on sort of every COVID positive that we have. So that's really the only way. But honestly, a patient wouldn't be able to tell if they have it or not, and it still has sort of the same symptoms. What we will notice with this strain is that more people will become positive.
Okay. So, I mean, and I'm not making up something, I'm just trying to understand. Is it fair to say that it probably is already here widespread? We just haven't been able to, I don't want to say take the time, but it's not like we've taken the proper tests to find out if the new strain is like everywhere.
Given what we've seen in the UK, the likelihood that it is starting to be widespread in Connecticut is very likely.
Okay.
Just because that's sort of what it does. And again, it is a significant amount of complexity to determine because we're really what we're talking about is we're talking about a few little mutations in a certain area of its genome. So it is actually very, it is sort of time intensive to figure out exactly what it is. But I can tell you throughout the state, all the hospitals and everyone who's testing are actually offering up a certain number of samples to determine if where it is and what's going on with it.
Okay. All right. So that's good to know, kind of some random sampling going on. Now,
yes.
Moderna's executive, I think it was yesterday, said a pretty bold statement that a lot of people, I think, are kind of having a hard time swallowing, but I'm not too shocked by it. I don't know about you. She said COVID will be here forever. What are sort of your thoughts on that? We keep hearing with infectious diseases, it's not like the vaccine eliminates COVID. It just helps you fight off COVID. So, I mean, is that really shocking to say it'll be here forever?
It is. I think there's a shock value to that, but mm-hmm. that is not an incorrect statement. Now COVID-19 and in coronavirus is going to be part of sort of normal routine. Will it be the same as it is now? Will it be, the pandemic that continues on forever? Absolutely not. What will happen is that we will get control over it. More people will get vaccinated. Hopefully enough people get vaccinated to really quell what's actually happening now. And then this will be part of regular routine. I can imagine that we're going to be testing for flu and coronavirus for quite a while.
Mm-hmm. Talking to Dr. Fred Brown this morning. Now, have we gotten any updates or is it still too soon, Dr. Brown? If this is a one and done, you get the COVID vaccine and that's it. You never have to get it again. Or are we still not sure at this point?
That's a great question, Melissa. So let me just take a couple extra seconds to talk about that. So the answer is we're not sure, and there's two factors that are there. One factor is, we're just not sure because we don't have long enough studies to say. If you look at sort of other coronavirus potential vaccines and what's been done in the lab, because there has been a vaccine or at least models of a vaccine that's been done for SARS-1, which was sort of the first coronavirus that came out in the early 2000s. So there is a model that's there, and it's lasted at least 10 years. Now, the problem is that because of the UK virus, the UK strain, I should say, because of the UK strain, there's a lot more people who are getting infected. And that means if more people get infected, then the possibility for this to mutate more is significantly increased.
Oh.
If it's significantly increased, that means the vaccine that we have at this point, because it might mutate again, it could be a significant enough mutation that we'll all need to get boosters. Now, this makes it really, really important if people get the vaccine. And if they get the vaccine, that not only protects them, but also protects everyone else from getting another shot.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's true. No, that's very true, actually. Yeah, that's down the line. That makes a lot of sense. Wow. Okay. Now, what about, like, is there going to get a become a point, I should say, like, you know, when you have children, they've got specific vaccines that they've got to get, basically. Do you see at some point COVID being, you know, I'd say like the flu vaccine, where you start getting kids vaccinated at a young age?
You know, it's going to be, we're going to have to see how that goes. And again, because it's going to see how long does it last? You know, what are we seeing with its seasonal variation? Because right now, because COVID-19 was, you know, was a brand new virus to us, to humans, because it was a brand new virus, it just went widespread. The question is there going to be some sort of seasonality associated with it? You know, are we not going to see it in the spring and the summer, and are we going to see it, you know, crop up in the fall? It's very likely, because that's what usually happens with respiratory viruses. So it may actually take a little bit more of a seasonality associated with it. So I would expect it to fit more in with sort of like the flu. And again, with the flu, then we'd figure out sort of who gets vaccinated for it.
All right. Well, Dr. Fred Brown of Griffin Health, thank you so much for coming on this morning, and we'll talk again next week.
Very, very nice. It was great talking to you, Melissa.
Always great to talk to you, too. Thank you so much, Dr. Brown.